Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Neil Shore, MD, FACS, the U.S. Chief Medical Officer of Surgery and Oncology at GenesisCare USA and the Medical Director at Carolina Urologic Research Center in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Dr. Shore joined us to talk about the FDA approval of nadofaragene firadenovec in non-muscle invasive bladder cancer. On December 16, 2022, the FDA approved the intravesical therapy nadofaragene firadenovec for adult patients with high-risk BCG-unresponsive NMIBC with carcinoma in situ with or without papillary tumors. This regulatory decision was backed by findings from the Phase 3 study CS003, in which the agent demonstrated a complete response rate of 51% within the first 3 months of treatment in patients with CIS with or without high-grade Ta or T1 disease. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Shore discussed the significance of this approval within the context of the current NMIBC treatment paradigm, the benefits of this therapy's administration method and schedule, and how this agent's favorable efficacy and safety profile paves the way for future advances in NMIBC. Thank you so much, Dr. Shore, for taking the time to speak with us today on the FDA approval of nadofaragene firadenovec in non-muscle invasive bladder cancer. To start off, could you just describe the significance of this approval?
This is extremely important approval for our patients who have a BCG unresponsive CIS or CIS with papillary disease. This is a real advancement, an intravesical therapy with a very patient and clinic-friendly schedule of events. Currently, we have another intravesical therapy that was approved on a very small study and had a very limited response rate called valribocin, and frankly, doesn't get used very much. I think it's been the experience that it's not particularly effective, relatively easy to administer, and for the most part tolerated, just not very effective. We do have a second therapy, pembrolizumab, based upon the KEYNOTE-57 trial, which has been FDA approved now for a couple of years for our patients with BCG unresponsive carcinoma in situ. That is getting additional traction and utilization. Part of the reluctance, I think, is for some urologic clinics and practices. They still need to develop a comfort with administering immuno-oncologic checkpoint inhibitor therapies and their associated immune-related adverse events. I personally have been using that therapy for quite a while. I think the great advancement here to the field is that nadofaragene firadenovec, which has been also described as instiladrin, most more recently adstiladrin, is given intravesically, and it's given on a dosing schedule once every 3 months. It's for patients now, as the FDA label, I believe, shows a BCG unresponsive CIS or CIS with papillary disease. So this is very important, and I think that it's a real important enhancement to the therapeutic armamentarium for patients and for clinicians.
Could you describe the mechanism of action of this agent?
It's combining a non-replicating adenovirus with the use of a gene combination construct that ultimately allows for a marked increase in interferon production. And the interferon has been well described as an apoptotic effect on transitional cell cancers. What's really nice about this particular mechanism of action is that interferon alpha particularly has a multiplicity of anti-tumor effects. It's anti-proliferative, anti-angiogenic. There's immune activity. A key aspect too is that it's a non-replicating virus. And additionally, because it's given intravesically, there's really minimal amount of any systemic absorption.
And so what were some of the key efficacy data from the CS003 study?
So what we saw was, looking at the complete response rate, CIS was a nearly 55% at 3 months, and by a year, approximately 25%. That's a complete response rate. So no evidence of any disease. Additionally, secondary endpoints that we looked at, when we looked at patients who had high-grade TA or T1, we found a 73% three-month CR, which was quite remarkable, and a 44% CR at 12 months. So I think this really speaks to some very good durability of response. When we looked at secondary endpoints, high-grade recurrence-free survival, we also saw very comparable response rates. Even going out to 24 months, there was durable, complete response for the patients who had achieved a CR at 3 months of approximately 40%. So this is really great, because for these patients who have CIS, who are, again, BCG unresponsive, what one would be potentially contemplating or having the discussion with their patients is potential cystectomy.
What does the safety profile look like for this agent, and what serious toxicities were seen here?
Really, the overwhelming majority of the toxicities that we saw in this registration trial and an earlier, approximately 50-patient phase 2 trial that we did. And by the way, this is tremendous leadership on the part of Colin Dinney from MD Anderson and the Society of Urologic Oncology Clinical Trials Consortium. Both of these trials were only achievable through the work of Colin Dinney's leadership and the SUO-CTC. What a great honor to have been part of this. What we saw in terms of an adverse event and safety and tolerability profile is the overwhelming majority of grade 1, grade 2 events were really just simply related to lower tract irritation from catheter placement and putting any medication in the bladder. The incidence of grade 3, 4 events were in very, very low single-digit percentages. We do know that there is a paucity of any systemic absorption. In a trial, we always look at anything in terms of a treatment emergent adverse event. And as I was saying, the vast majority, about 70%, were just local side effects. The rigor of the severe adverse events, the grade 3, 4s, was only to the point of about 5%. There are no deaths attributable to an adverse event, and discontinuation rate from an adverse event was about 2%. I think this should be extremely reassuring to my colleagues, urologists, particularly who are in community practice.
Is there anything else that you would like to speak about regarding this approval or this agent that we haven't already touched on?
This is a real unmet need for a really quality intravesical therapy that has a very favorable dosing schedule. Again, it's given once every 3 months. It's a non-replicating virus, and I think that there's going to be a need for education to make sure that not just urologists and clinicians, but their team becomes understanding of how this combination of a non-replicating virus gene vector that really sort of acts like, for lack of a better term, a bioreactor. It stimulates dramatic increases in alpha interferon to coat the bladder. Seen some responses of antibody responses, and that work is under further review and publication, demonstrating that potential as a marker for additional response. I think there's a great opportunity for further trials combining nadofaragene firadenovec with other approved therapies, even potentially pembrolizumab.
Is there any ongoing or upcoming bladder cancer research that you're involved in or excited about that you'd like to highlight?
I would, like to highlight that there are other immunotherapeutics that are being looked at. In fact, the Immunity Bio superagonist interferon therapy is being reviewed by the FDA as we speak. looking at another intravesical therapy that would have the IL-15, different from the interferon alpha of nadofaragene firidenovec, but nonetheless, an intravesically delivered immunotherapeutic in the BCG unresponsive population. And that could, if approved, be a fourth therapy for our patients with BCG unresponsive disease. Keep in mind, these patients are in a very difficult position because we know that continuing to give additional intravesical chemotherapies, additional BCG, is not a particularly successful strategy. So having pembrolizumab, having nadofaragene firidenovec, and potentially other therapies such as Immunity Bio, the Onctiva, it could be very important. Cholgenesis has a trial also working on additional immunotherapeutic intravesically delivered therapies. So I think it's a very, very exciting time for our patients who have the more aggressive high-risk non-muscle invasive bladder cancer disease in their particular journey. There's some really cutting-edge early phase trials with applications with direct intravesical approaches, including injection-based therapies directly intratumoral, and various strategies to eradicate disease locally. And I think those are particularly exciting because they almost invariably avoid systemic absorption and systemic toxicities.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Onclive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Onclive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at Onclive and at OncliveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at Onclive and Onclive State of the Science Summit, and follow our Onclive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Onclive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Onclive On Air.